It has been a stressful and tense week in America, immaterial of whether you are a supporter of President Trump or not. These days have not been easy for most Americans. I had the privilege of having some distance from all the tension. I was at home. But as soon as I entered or returned back to the country, every conversation I've had with people somehow leads to the happenings in the nation. Whether it was the march last week or the march this weekend, whether it is immigration or refugee resettlement, people have taken on the social media to express their opinions. And they have expressed their hopes, sometimes their fears, sometimes their thrill, sometimes their anguish. This is where America is today. I read some of them. I wanted to just withdraw from social media. But one of the questions I asked myself was, in times like this, what is it that I rely on? When fragility strikes, what could I fall back on? After all, politics cannot give us salvation, neither does politics promise us eternal life. We need something deeper to fall back on. And as I open today's scriptures to read what I could fall back on, scriptures couldn't have spoken more loudly to me. And I'm merely going to share with you where Christ is leading us. So here are my 3 points for this week. To address the issues that are so typical in the church and the nation, I actually want to begin with last Sunday's second reading. In fact, a good thing would have been to have last Sunday's second reading and this Sunday's second reading together. As a section, it would have been more helpful. In any case, let me begin with last Sunday's reading. Paul was very aware of the division in the community, the Corinthian community, very gifted community, but very divided. And this is what Paul says, how he defines the division. He says, I mean that each one of you is saying, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. And then Paul asks this all-important question. He said, is Christ divided? Today, if Paul was talking to us, probably he would say, some of you say, I belong to Trump, and some of you say, I belong to Clinton, or I belong to this party, or that. And probably he would ask us the question, is Christ divided? The fact is that today the church is divided. It's a reality. Catholics are divided over immigrants and how we address this issue. Catholics are divided over refugee resettlement and how we deal with that. Catholics are divided over what it means to be pro-life or pro-choice. It's a tragedy, but I think it is true. I want to show you a picture that I took in India. And if you don't get the context of this, I'm inside what we call an auto rickshaw. It's a three-wheeler. If you love your life, you wouldn't get on it. But this is how most people, you know, many people, it's a cheap means of transport. I'm sitting in the back seat. I'm actually taking the picture from. This guy, he's barely finished high school. He's a Hindu. His name is Vishnu. And he's barely finished high school. And when I sat with him, here is what I'm drawing your attention to. Look at that picture on the top over here. And this is another Hindu figure, right? This is what it looks like up close. So it's got the image of three different religions there, huh? So you have Jesus on my right, and you have Ganesh, the Hindu god, and then you have the Muslim mosque, because Muslims have no images of gods, right? The relationship of religions, or among religions in India, has been very, very, very complicated, and sometimes very delicate. Now, most Christians would have trouble with this image because it leads to idolatry. We have only the image of Jesus in front. And I don't think this guy who's a Hindu, he's trying to be idolatrous or inviting us to idolatry. What he's saying is, he's saying to the Muslims and the Christians and the Hindus in India, listen, we believe in different gods, but what is common between us is that we are all believers. This is a kid who's barely finished high school. And I took a picture of him and I said, I want to show you to America. Is it possible, Paul is saying, that while we admit that there is division, that we can look for common ground? What is that common ground? For Paul, it is Jesus Christ. Yes, we can talk about our divisions, we can squabble about them, but in the end, we've got to come together about what is that which is greater than all our divisions. And that is, for Paul, Jesus Christ. Folks, I think the church in America needs to reimagine itself. It's time to do that. To ask the question who we are. The church to reimagine itself not as Democrats or Republicans and independents, but rather as disciples of Jesus Christ, because that is our common bond. Maybe before anything else, our conversation needs to be about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. At least we have a starting point. The starting point, this is my second point in this homily. In any conversation, the starting point is very important. We may not know where the conversation will end. That we cannot determine. What we can determine is the starting point. And I'm saying that today's gospel proposes to us a starting point for a conversation in a divided church. The Beatitudes. We cannot fight about that, right? The Beatitudes. Now, let us remember that Jesus is preaching the Beatitudes to the disciples. Today's scripture says that Jesus went up the mountain and his disciples followed him. The crowds were left behind. The disciples went up with Jesus. If we indeed belong to Christ, if we indeed consider ourselves to be disciples, then our conversations, our choices about life, about immigrants, about refugees, about minorities, can be guided by the Beatitudes. In other words, our starting point is not about our disagreements, but that which Christ teaches us, the Beatitudes. So let me ask you this. We could talk about the poverty of heart. If our conversation or attitudes and our choices emerged out of the poverty of heart, would they be different? Perhaps we could talk about those who mourn. Who are the people who are mourning today, who are in grief? Who are the people who in our city, in our country, live on the fringes of society? Who are these people? Can our question be about how we can comfort them? Maybe we can talk about how we can deal with issues with meekness. For Jesus says, blessed are the meek. And let's not forget to be merciful towards one another, for the mercy that we show will be the mercy shown to us. Is Catholicism only for those people who are comfortable? Who needs our mercy today? Let us also challenge one another to be clean of heart by shedding our prejudices, our finger pointing, our insults, and conducting our conversation with dignity. And then Jesus calls us to be peacemakers rather than warmongers. For then, Jesus says, we shall be called children of God. Folks, to the extent that we commit ourselves to the Beatitudes, to that extent, the kingdom of God is ours. To the extent that we commit ourselves to the Beatitudes, to that extent, the kingdom of God is ours. The most important reading, this is my third point, is actually the first reading today. It's from the book of Zephaniah. Now, Zephaniah prophesied just a few years before the prophet Jeremiah. And the context of that reading is that the people of Israel, people of Judah, the southern kingdom, they've abandoned the covenant. In fact, nobody remembers the covenant. They've forgotten who they are. There's rampant injustice, and there's rampant infidelity to the covenant. In the midst of all of that, here is a voice that cries out. And here, please hear what Zephaniah is saying to us today. He says, seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth. Folks, arrogance has no place in God's kingdom. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have observed his law, seek justice with humility. What a powerful word, humility. Seek justice with humility. And then again, he says, but I will leave as a remnant in your midst a people humble and lowly, who shall take refuge in the name of the Lord. So the two main qualities that God seeks from the remnant people, and we are the new remnants, aren't we? The church is the new remnant that Jesus began. If there are two qualities that God is seeking from us, it is this: humility and justice. Humility, it's simply not part of our public or political discourse anymore. It simply isn't. 2 years of election campaigning, we see what it all is all about. It's simply not part of our public and political discourse. However, as people who belong to Christ, as disciples, as the new remnants, the one thing that God seeks in us is humility. So evaluate your conversations in the past few weeks. Evaluate your I'm doing the same. Let's evaluate our conversations, our attitudes, and our choices. And we ask ourselves, have they been conducted in humility? And then there's justice. God's justice is very different than the justice of nation states, because God's justice is tempered with mercy. And I'm not making this up. That's the cross. The crucifix tells us what justice tempered with mercy is. Honestly, you and I should have been on the cross, but it is not us. If God had to merely go with justice, we would be hanging on the cross. But God's justice is tempered with mercy. God still makes room for justice, but is merciful towards us. This beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Folks, it's a warning. It's not merely a proposal, it's a warning. The warning is simply this, that if we do not show mercy, then mercy cannot be ours. We deny ourselves God's mercy. A people of humility and a people of justice tempered with mercy. This is the kind of people that God is seeking. We are here at this altar, and the Eucharist is the most unifying celebration of the church. But it's also a celebration that calls us to conversion. We cannot receive the mercy and grace of God in this Eucharist and then spew hate outside. It just cannot be. The Eucharist is where the world can come together. People, this is the Universal Catholic Church's celebration. All peoples, we can all come together on the Eucharist. So as we come to receive Christ, I think we need to find unity here first. We need to figure out what we want to talk about. I hope we can talk about that which leads us to the kingdom. We can talk about what it means to be a people that's humble and yet just, justice tempered with mercy. Let us reimagine ourselves as disciples of Christ. Let everything else go to the fore. Let's reimagine, may the church in America reimagine itself as followers of Christ first. The people of God said, Amen.